I'm excited about this message because I think all of us have a point in our life where we hit what I call desperation. This message got personal for me this week, really did. God was really speaking to me, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I know you're talking to me. I know you're speaking. So I think I'm preaching to myself today. So thanks for joining me as I talk to myself for the next 30 minutes. And so I think all of us, though, face a point where we're waiting on something, and it's not happening. And you're not seeing the change you want in your life. Things are not working out. Things are not going right. Things seem to be falling apart. And God's like, you're right where I want you to be. God is in that moment, and we forget that. That's the point where God puts his grace on us in a special and a unique way. And God does that for someone in the Bible named Hannah. Hannah could not get pregnant. Hannah struggled with infertility. It's a common struggle even today, and I don't want to just casually blow by this because you may be dealing with this in your life, and God brought you here today to hear this message. Maybe for you it's not infertility. Maybe it's you've been praying that God would bring healing to you. Hasn't happened yet. You've been praying for God to turn your marriage around. Hasn't happened yet. You've been praying for God to help you overcome an addiction or get through a legal battle or whatever it is for you. We're all waiting on God for something. And sometimes you get to the point of total and complete desperation. Now, let me give you some background. Hannah was married to a guy named Elkanah. Elkanah was married to two different women. The Bible does not endorse polygamy. It acknowledges it. Let me be real clear there, okay? In fact, Jesus is the one who said marriage is between a man and a woman for life, right? So that's the picture we're going for, but that's not what they had here. And so Hannah's in a really crazy situation. So Elkanah's married to Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah produces lots of kids. Like, she just pumps out kids, man. She's like, every time, you know, Elkanah kisses her wrong, she gets pregnant. Like, wow, this is unbelievable, right? And then you got Hannah, who for the life of her just cannot get pregnant. So you can imagine how frustrating this is for her. And so that's the situation they find themselves. Let me jump in to the story here. It says, each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. By the way, every time they would go before the Lord, they would bring a sacrifice. That's biblical. By the way, people were always like, I don't know why you guys always have to have an offering. That's because every single time people would gather to worship the Lord, God said, you know, bring me a sacrifice. And so that's part of who we are, is that we're sacrificial people. So though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, this was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the temple. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. So it was bad enough that Hannah couldn't get pregnant, but Peninnah threw it in her face constantly. Hey, Hannah, look at all the meat I've got. I'm going to make all this sacrifice for all my kids. Where are your kids? Oh, you don't have any. So she's taunting him. I mean, Peninnah was a real Peninnah in the butt. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was being a jerk, right? I mean, you're like, are you serious, right? And so this person is being very difficult. And I want to tell you something I've learned that the devil will do. Would you write this down? The devil will use people to throw your need in your face. The devil will use even family. Maybe you're like, you know, I'm frustrated, I'm single still, and then I go home and I got my aunt, my uncle, or my mom saying, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you married yet? Thanks, like I don't have a need, like I'm unaware of this, but you just want to throw it in my face, you know? And so you can't control that, you can't help that. That's in God's timing, that's in God's way. And so sometimes we have people that, well-meaning people that throw it in their face, or maybe not well-meaning people, like Peninnah was not well-meaning. She intentionally was taunting her. Of course, you realize this whole relationship set up for disaster anyways, because there's two women married to the same man. That's a recipe for disaster right there. But you say, gosh, Pastor, why is so many stories in the Bible that start off with this just giant mess? Because God's saying, you know what? Our lives are messes too. And God moves in the middle of our mess. Aren't we grateful for that, that God will move in the middle of our mess? I'm thankful for that. So look what happens next. Hannah's crying. She's upset. And I love what Elkanah says. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Now, ladies, let's collectively use our hands together and slap him across the face. Talk about a clueless dude. He's like, you don't need kids. You got me. She's like, you have no idea. She's like, bro, seriously, you know? But I love this because there's so many layers to this story. But the fact that this husband is this clueless is not only hilarious, but quite accurate for most husbands, right? I mean, honestly, women, how many times you're like, my husband doesn't get it? You're right. We don't. And so let's just admit that on the front end, men, we don't quite get it. But you know what, men, we're fixers. So we feel like we're the solution to our wives' problems, but then there's that time when you're not. Then there's that moment when you can't solve this for her. Only God can do this. And so I want to encourage you that we all hit this point in our life. Would you write this down? Sometimes God puts you in a position that no one can solve your problem but him. I believe that God set this up not only for Hannah, but for Elkanah to realize too, if I'm going to come through, it's going to be me, not you. There are moments when nothing is going to work and no one else can help you. And God's like, are you finally going to realize that I'm the grand mover on your life anyways? Or are you finally going to realize I'm in charge? Right? God's saying, hey, let me get this through your thick skull. If you're blessed, it's because of me. And so God wants us all to learn this lesson. So what does Hannah do? First of all, let me just stop real quick and just speak to the women if I can. Hannah's such a great example of a woman who sought God. And she sought God from the point of desperation. Ladies, I want to encourage you. I'm so excited about this next week for you because God is bringing things together for you in a special way. Not only do we have an amazing Mother's Day next week, I want to encourage you to be here. And maybe Mother's Day is really hard for me. I'm not a mom. Neither was Hannah yet. And then God began to bless her. But I want to encourage you to be here next week. Also, we've got Girls Club. It's going to be an incredible event. My wife has been working so hard with her team. They have been busting it. I mean, just getting all the details. I just want to thank God for my wife right now and her leadership and what she does for this place. Let me just tell you right now, don't miss Girls Club or Mother's Day. I promise you they will both bless your life. Be like Hannah and seek the Lord in your time of need. Look what Hannah does. I love this. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. So keep in mind in the Old Testament that you had to have a priest to speak on behalf of you to God and on behalf of God to you. You had to have this connection point, right? Now we know that was Eli here, but Eli is representing Jesus because we know Jesus is our high priest now. And so he is our connection that we get to pray to God because of Jesus and we hear from God because of Jesus. Does that make sense? So I just want to encourage you, every time you go to pray, I got great news for you. You're not the only one on your knees praying, crying out to God. Jesus is right beside you saying, please hear my servant's prayer, God. Isn't that amazing? When you're crying out, God, I'm all alone. And Jesus is right there going, I'm right here. God, do you see my servant? Would you please bless? He is praying for you while you pray. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now on your behalf. You want to know, what does Jesus talk to God about? You. That's what he talks to God about. He talks about you, about your needs, about your concerns. When you cry out to God, Jesus is our adversary. He is our advocate, and he is always there when you pray. I want to encourage you with this. This is so simple, but we forget. When you are desperate, go to God in prayer. Why? Because not only will he answer our prayers, but also, did you know this? Did you know that an act of worship is to rely upon God? God wants to be depended upon. And if you won't depend upon him, he will dry up one area of your life that you desperately need him so that you will depend upon him. Did you catch that? So he has you where he wants you. So you say, God, I can't solve this. I just need you. And God's like, you've always needed me, but now it's been highlighted because it's something you lack. And so this has always been not about what you need, but about your need for God. And so go to God. And when you go to God, how you go to God matters. And so she goes to God, but look what she does when she goes to God in the temple. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like Matthew 5. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God says, for me to bless you, I got to get you to the point to you being poor in spirit, where you're mourning, you're hurting, you're crying. When you become desperate, God says, that's when I show up. God says, I do my best work when you're at your worst. I do my greatest move in your life when you're at your point of need, like, and nothing else will work. God, I just need you to come through. Nothing else will work. God says, like, exactly, now I want to come through. God puts you to the point where you desperately need him when you have no other hope so he can come through. Before God parts the Red Sea, God put Moses and the people of Israel in the corner with a giant army bearing down on them. God, we have to have you. God's like, you've needed me all this time. And boom, he parts the Red Sea. God gets you to a point of desperation because you're concerned about getting your need met, but God's concerned about you surrendering to him. That's his greatest need, is to be desired by you, to be needed by you. And so he says, I want you to seek me. So she does. And in her desperation, just like we do, she made a vow. Oh, God, if you'll get me out of this one, I'll serve you my whole life. How many of you guys have prayed that prayer before? Oh, God, if you'll just let my girlfriend not be pregnant, I won't mess around anymore. Oh, God, if you'll just help me not to get caught, if you'll just cover this by your mercy, then, Lord, I promise I'll serve you from this point forward. God, if you'll just get me out of this financial mess, I'll start tithing. God, if you'll just, how many of you guys have prayed prayers like this? Let's be honest. We say, oh, God, if you'll just get me out of this, Lord, I promise you, did you know that God put you in that position by design? Now, some people may say, well, what's Hannah doing here? Let's look at what she says. And she made this vow, oh, Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. What? She says, if you'll just give me a child, I will return him to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Who controls a child's haircut when they're below the age of, say, 6 or 5? Mom. She's like, I can't control what Samuel does, but I will do my part to point this child to you in every way possible. And I will bring him to your temple. Some people may say, well, this is making a deal with God. We're not supposed to negotiate with God. Well, you can negotiate with God. Did you know you can do that? You just need to be aware it's very lopsided. He has all the power and you have none. So lopsided is actually God-sided. So I want to encourage you, this wasn't about Hannah negotiating with God. This is about Hannah surrendering her dream. Maybe God hasn't brought you the man or woman of your dreams yet, because if he brought it the first time you prayed, you'd just take them and run off right out of his house as fast as possible. Thanks, God. That's what I want to see you. I was like, oh, no, we're not going to do that because we've seen you do that before. So we're not going to let you get the woman or man of your dreams very fast, because if we did that, you would think that you did it when I'm the one doing it. God, I'm so broken. I'm so lonely. I'm so hurting. God, if you'll just bring someone, I'll make sure that we make our relationship about serving you. God said, ding, 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 ding. Now we can do something. Oh, God, my business is about to go under. I can't pay the bills. My life's falling apart. God, if you'll just take this business, I'll make this business about serving you. God's like, ding, ding, ding. Now I got your attention. Because I started the business in your heart a long time ago for me to begin with. I put it in your heart to be married one day for you to point to me. I wanted to give you this child. Why? So you'd use this child for my glory. See, God's trying to get us to the point where we should already be, which is that everything I have, all that I have, is to serve you. That's where he wants us. I have a good friend that was so broken that he was about to lose the family business, the ranch, everything, all that he worked for. A very accomplished guy, but no one else knew, but he was falling apart. His life was falling apart. His finances were falling apart. He came here one day years ago, sat in the back row, and God was speaking to him. I love the back row. God seems to speak the most at the back row. God was speaking to him, and he said, God, I'm desperate. I don't know what else to do. And so he got out his checkbook, and he said, what do I have? And he wrote a check for the balance that was in his checkbook. He said, I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to trust it all with you. You know, about a month after that, there's a knock on his door from an oil company. He said, we think there may be oil in your land. We'd like the rights to drill in your land. His life changed one month later. I'd love to tell you that's going to happen to you. Oh, man, if I just write a check, then I'm going to have oil. No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is this. When you surrender, God can do his will. That man has served the Lord and faithfully supported God's kingdom ever since. I want to tell you right now, God gets you to the point of desperation because he's got bigger things for you. It's not because he's trying to ruin your life. He's trying to bless your life. He's trying to do greater work than you've ever seen in your life. But he has to get you to the point where you say, God, I can't do this anymore. My life is falling apart. Everything is terrible and it's all my face and I don't know what to do. And God goes, thank you. Now I have your attention. Now I can do my greatest work in you. What does this mean? Number 4, let it all out. God's power is made perfect in your weakness. Now, I want to warn you, God gives Hannah in a moment a yes, but God gives multiple people in the Bible a no, and God is still answering you. You say, I just want God to answer my prayer. Maybe God said, I did. I said no. That's also a valid answer from God. But God's no's are always because there's another divine yes down the road that's bigger. So we have to trust him. You know who got a divine no? Paul. God, if you'll just, please just take this thorn out of my side. And God said, no. You know why? This is what God said to Paul. He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. You are a better man, Paul, with a wound. You are a better leader waking up every morning in pain, hurting. I got to be honest with you this morning. I got up, as soon as I felt the pull in my back, I was like, oh, Lord, this is bad. Oh, God, please help me. Oh, God. And it was like the Lord was saying, right? And the only time your back is ever good is because of me too. Like, okay, God. I'm going to be honest with you. This message is really personal to me because there's some things that I know God's telling me it's time to surrender. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to. I don't. Every part of my flesh does not want to surrender. But God's like, are you going to do what I told you or not? The good news is that I know on the other side of my personal surrender is God doing his greatest work. How about you? Will you join me in that? Is that you today? Are you desperate like I am, needing God to do something in your life? And God's like, I want to do it too, but you got to surrender. You got to quit trying to do things in your own terms and in your own way. God told Paul no. You know who also God told no to? His own son. Jesus struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane to surrender to God's will for him to give his life. Did you know that you can actually see, if you were in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus prayed that prayer and said, God, please let this cup pass from me. He said, I don't want to do this, but if it's your will, I'll do it. You know, Jesus, when he got up to go see his disciples, who were all asleep, by the way, isn't this great? Hannah's got a husband who's basically asleep at the wheel as well. Like, he's like, I'm all you need. And she's like, you don't get it at all. Jesus goes to his disciples, hey, can y'all at least stay awake? I'm about to give my whole freaking life here, and you can't even stay up. I mean, could you just give me another hour? As Jesus saw them, and he said, God, would you please let this cup pass from me? Did you know there's a clear shot from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way across the Kidron Valley, all the way up to Jerusalem? Jesus could see the torches being gathered from the centurions gathering to come for him while he was praying. God was like, the answer is no. And there's no negotiating with God. Even Jesus had to surrender. Aren't you glad he did? Because of his surrender, our lives are changed. In the same way, Hannah had to fully surrender to God. This isn't about negotiations. The negotiating is this. Here's the negotiation. God's in charge. God's large and in charge. You're small and on call. That's the negotiation. Lord, whatever you want, it's yours. Whatever you want. I mean, first of all, if I try to hold on to it, you just rip it out of my hands anyway, so I might as well just give it, right? So here, Lord, I'm just going to trust in you. Now, I love what happens next. And so she's broken, she's crying out to God, and there's a priest nearby watching this. Now, keep in mind, these priests are also human, right? So even the high priest of Christ had a human side to him. He was fully God and fully man at the same time. So you can see a little humanity from the priest here and a guy named Eli. It says, as she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Then he goes and confronts her. Must you come here drunk, he demands. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking, but I am very discouraged. I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. You know your greatest prayers are not when you're spiritual, are not when you're feeling inspiration. Your greatest prayers are when you're not spiritual and you're in desperation. Can we just be honest? That's our most powerful prayers, when we are broken, don't know what to do, can't fix ourselves. God, I just need you. I'm so screwed up. Lord, I can't do this. And God's like, right, I knew that all along. Now I'm glad you're finally getting it, that you need me. Then I love what Eli said. He didn't even realize what he was saying. Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. He doesn't even know what it is. He basically said, may God give you what you ask. He's the priest. He represents God. So she knows, I just heard from God. God just said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you a baby. So look what happens. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Now, let me ask you something. What changed in her life? Nothing. Her circumstances didn't change at all, but her heart changed. Can I tell you right now, The reason why your circumstances haven't changed what you're praying for is because God said, you keep waiting on your circumstances, I'm waiting on your heart. If you'll surrender your heart to me, then I can open doors for you. But if you don't, God's like, why would I deliver everything I have for you to use it for yourself? For you just to become more selfish, more self-absorbed. We are such a narcissistic society, even in our faith, all of our prayers are about us. Bless me, help me, open the door for me, do this for me, do that for me, give me a raise, give me a promotion. And God's like, are you ever going to ask this question? What can I do for you, God? Even our prayers are about us. We're like, oh, God. You know, how Jesus said, hey, how are you supposed to pray? Jesus said, start with hallowed be thy name. What do I mean? Let's talk about God. Who is God? But what do we do in our prayers? God, I need you to help me right now. God's like, whoa, whoa, you missed the whole first part where you talk about me and my plans and my agenda, and you went straight to you. You ever talk to someone who just talked about themselves the whole time? You're like, hey, let's talk about me. Here's what's going on in my life. You, blah, blah, blah. You just talk about yourself the whole time. And then finally they go, you know, I'm sorry I've been talking about myself the whole time. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me? I mean, you're like, unbelievable, right? You saw, somehow it's back on. You ever known someone like that? God is looking at us saying, holding a mirror up, going, you see yourself? Everything you talk about is you. But I have an agenda to change the world, and you have an agenda to bless yourself. God says, I have my greatest work to do in your life. And by the way, Hannah, if you will surrender what you want, I'll give you more than you ever dreamed. You just wanted a child. But God didn't just give Hannah a child. God gave Hannah a child named Samuel. I'm going to explain who he is in just a moment. And so this is important. Number five, God will answer your prayer in a way you didn't expect. It says in verse 12, of 1 Samuel 1, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea. I love that line. Ladies, the Lord remembers your plea. Gentlemen, the Lord remembers your plea. A plea is not just a prayer, is it? A plea is what? A prayer. A plea is spiritually begging. Isn't that what that is? Please, God. I was like, okay. I think you're almost surrendered. I'm going to hold back a little longer. God, please, I don't know what else to do. Okay, God, look, if you'll just do it, I'll give it to you. Let me wait a little longer. Okay, I'll give it to you for my whole life. Just please. No, not yet. Okay. I'll give it to you, and I'll make a vow publicly to where everyone knows I'm stuck with this. I have to do it. Just whatever, God, just please. Now that you've surrendered everything you want, everything you are, and you're in complete desperation, now I can say yes. Your desperation is a gift from God before the gift. He wants us to be a broken people before him. So then he heard her plea, and in due time, she gave birth to a son. What'd she name him? Samuel. You know what Samuel means? Heard by God. Isn't that beautiful? Heard by God. For she said, I asked the Lord for him. Now, this is important. What did she do? She didn't go the next year to Shiloh to worship like they do every year. She didn't do that. She said, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to wean the child. And then in a few years, we don't know if it was one or two, but a few years in, after breastfeeding, right? Because she's like, okay, the priest can't do that. I mean, that's the day. He's not going to be able to help out with that. So that's me. And so, but once he's weaned, and we wean children very, very young, but they would wean a child at 4 or 5. So I know that kind of freaks you out, but that's actually pretty normal back in the day. And so cheapest meal was on mom, right? I mean, so this is way better. And so whenever she did go back to the temple, guess what she did, ladies? She gave her child to God. Literally. She dropped him off with Eli, the priest. I want you to imagine doing this. Eli was probably old enough that his first formative memories were watching his mother cry her eyes out and drop before the throne and say, I give you this child. And the priest worshiped with her. He has tears running down her face. She doesn't even know why Eli has tears running down his face. The priest, you know why he does? Because God, separately from her even knowing, was working on Eli, because Eli had two boys that would not honor God. Eli, I'm sure, had dreams of saying, I want to turn this temple over to you one day to run it. But because you won't surrender to God, I can't. And so what did God do? Later on, God takes the life of both the boys and Eli all in one fell swoop because God raised Samuel up. And so when the child won't do it, God will give you a spiritual child to do it. And that's exactly what happened. Keep that in mind, by the way, that your inheritance will be given to another if you don't obey God. That's a big deal, isn't it? I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. But let me also say this. Hannah, if she had not obeyed God, Samuel would not have grown up in the temple. Did you know Samuel was the one who anointed King David? I would argue that Samuel is the most important prophet, the most important priest in Israel's history. Because without Samuel, David is not anointed. Without David, we don't have the lineage of David to Jesus. This was not an ordinary child, which is why it wasn't an ordinary birth. I pray that speaks to someone today. Maybe you've had a really crazy situation. You're like, this business was born in chaos. God's like, right, because I'm going to do something special with it. This marriage was born in a mess. And God says, right, I'm my hands on it. This child, complication after complication, God's like, mm-hmm, my hands on them. When God wants to do something special, he births it out of a mess. Because our messes become God's message. That's how God works. So this is important. Look what happens. A few years later, 1 Samuel 1:26. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah shows up before the priest. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago and praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. There's no way she didn't pray that, and she didn't say that in tears. Would you agree, Mom? There's no way. She literally left the child at the temple. Number six, fulfill your promises to God. In your desperation, God conditioned your heart to make vows that you wouldn't have said if you weren't desperate. And the prayers that we pray when we're desperate, the vows we make, God's like, I've been trying to condition your heart to get to the point where you do that. So now, keep your vow. God, if you'll get me out of this financial mess, I'll always tithe. God's going, yeah, remember that mess you were in a couple years ago? When are you going to come through on your side? I got you through it. When are you going to start? Are you going to keep being selfish with that tithe? Because we can do another round of the mess if you want, God says. Or you can submit to me. Oh, God, if you'll just turn my marriage around. God's like, I'd love to do that. What marriage are we on now? We can go to the next one if you want. We can keep having heartache after heartache after heartache. You want to do that? You want to keep splitting your net worth again and again and have a more tragedy and more pain and more struggle? Or are you going to finally surrender to me? Guys, we forget this about God. God is to be feared. We don't talk about this in the church anymore. God says, I love you and I will bless your life. But if you don't obey me, I will allow calamity to come in your life. We are to fear the Lord. And if you will do that, God will bless you. Eli's boys didn't fear the Lord. God said, no problem, I'll take you out. And he did. Eli was more fearful of his boys than God, so he wouldn't discipline them. So God said, I'm going to take you out too. God took him out, and God raised up Samuel. And later on, Samuel is now a grown man, and Eli was still alive at this point before God took him. And Samuel's laying in bed, and he hears a voice. He's like, what? What? He gets up, runs over to Eli's room. Hey, did you need something, sir? No, I didn't call your name. Okay. Goes and lays back down. Hour later, what? Jumps out of bed. Sir, did you need something? I didn't call your name. Third time. Finally, Eli realizes what's going on. We're kind of thick-skulled, aren't we? We don't really catch you. He goes, oh, you're not hearing from me. God's calling your name. Go back and lay down. If you hear a voice again, say, Lord, I'm here. What do you need? Can I tell you that's when God's trying to get you all along? God's trying to get us generationally to that point of desperation and say, God, all I have is yours. All I am is yours. Here I am, Lord. What do you need from me? And then God spoke to Samuel and said, I'm going to do something shocking in Israel. It's going to be a good shock, but they're not going to realize it yet. We're removing a king that's not honoring me, and you're going to anoint a young kid from Jesse's house named David. Let me ask you something right now. What are you waiting on? Could it be that God is waiting for you to surrender? You're waiting on the person of your dreams, the financial opportunity, the raise you want, the job opportunity. You're waiting on the business to grow. You're waiting for your kid to turn around and face the Lord. You're waiting for your marriage to turn around. You're waiting for your health to turn around. And God says, I'm waiting on your heart. Surrender all you are to the Lord. That's the point. That is the point of our desperation. Okay, God, I've messed it up. I make a vow to you, God. I'll give you the one thing I want to keep. Now, I can say yes. Because now everything you want me more. That's what he wants. Would you bow your head with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? If you are in desperation today, if you are hurting and struggling, so let's stand in the presence of God today. I just feel like doing this differently. I think this is not a normal message. If you are hurting today, this altar is open like Hannah, who came forward and said, God, I need you now. Please, God, help me. I can't do this any longer. Come forward if that's you. If that's you, if you say, I don't care who knows, I need you now, God, please. You come forward right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Come on, there's some desperate people in the house of God. Don't hold back. When God's trying to get you something, he's trying to bless you. He's trying to do something in your life. He says, if you'll surrender to me, you have no idea what I'll do for you. If you will become broken before me, I do my greatest work when you're broken. Come before the Lord. God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I can't fix myself. I need you, God. Oh, God, I know you're talking to me right now. I don't want to give you my yes, but I will. It's going to require all of me to give you that yes, God, but I know there's no negotiating with you. It's just surrender. So, God, I surrender. I give you my yes. What's God speaking to you about? He just wants surrender. Would you give God your yes? But Pastor, what God's asking me is crazy. Not everyone's going to understand. You think women that knew Hannah said, oh, yeah, girl, we get it. Uh-huh, sure, drop off your kids here. You kidding me? You know how weird that must have seemed? How crazy? She was judged more by Peninnah, not less, for giving her kid to the temple. Can you imagine? She was like, so let me get this straight. You finally get a kid and you give the child up? But then Hannah realized, Peninnah, no offense, but your opinion doesn't count here. God's does. Will you surrender to God? Thanks for joining me in my own confession today. So I know I'm having to surrender and I'm scared to do it, but I know I'm doing it. So God, I give you my yes. I know what you've asked of me. I'll do it. I'll obey you. I surrender my life fully to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Give him your yes. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you know God is calling you to surrender something or someone to him, would you hold your hand high if that's you today? Let's be a church of surrender. Praise God. Even Jesus had to give something up that he didn't want to do. Even Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote half the New Testament. God said, nope, not going to give you that one. I'm going to give you great influence. I'm going to let you bless the world through your writings, but you're not going to get out of prison either. You're going to keep the thorn in your side. and you can be stuck in prison writing letters because you can't go where you want to go. And God used that greatly in his life. God's no's are sometimes more powerful than his yeses. So God, whatever your answer is, I surrender all to you. I surrender all. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you can do so right now by praying a very simple prayer across all of our campuses. Pray this prayer with me. You can just say this out loud. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. You surrendered your life by going to the cross to pay the price for my sins. And I believe you then rose again. So I surrender my all and lay my life before you. I commit myself to you. Please come in my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, just lift your hand high if you just gave your life to Jesus. Would you just hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Jesus? Hold that hand high. Thank you. We see your hands. Praise God. Thank you. Across all of our campuses, thank you. God's moving right now at Padre Island. God's moving to Portland. Praise God. People are surrendering right now at Rockport Fulton. Praise God. Look around. Look what God's doing right now in Stone Oak. Praise God. Look what God's doing at Rodfield. Those of you who are online with us, if you just surrendered your life to Jesus and prayed that prayer, would you just put it in the text chat? Just text, "gave my life to Jesus," or click "hand raised." Either way, we know that means you gave your life to Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word today. God, we surrender all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Let's give these people that have come forward a hand right now. Let's do that. Praise God. God is moving in a powerful way. Pastor?